I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
These are the headlines that made the year 1977.
January 1st, first woman Episcopal priest ordained.
January 21st, President Carter pardons Vietnam War draft evaders.
February 7th, the Soviet Union launches Soyuz. Soyuz 24, Viktor Gorbatko, Yuri Glazkov, to dock with the Soyuz 5 space station.
February 18th, American Space Shuttle Program, first test flight of the Space Shuttle Enterprise, mated with the Boeing 747 shuttle carrier.
March 10th, the rings of Uranus are discovered.
Not my anus. April 4th, April 4th, Southern Airways Flight 242 crashes on a highway in New Hope, Georgia. United States killing 72 people.
May 23rd, scientists report using bacteria in a lab to make insulin via gene splicing.
August 16th, King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley, dies at the age of 42.
September 28th, the Porsche 928 debuts at the Geneva Motor Show.
October 7th, Pele plays his final professional football game as a member of the New York Cosmos.
October 20th, Ronald Van Zant, frontman of Lynyrd Skynyrd, dies at 29 in a plane crash.
November 22nd, British Airways inaugurates regular London to New York City supersonic Concorde service.
December 10th, 1977, Australian federal election, Malcolm Fraser's Liberal Nation Country Coalition government is re-elected with a slightly reduced majority.
These were some of the headlines that made the year 1977. And in 2024, you're listening to XY Podcasts.
You did well. You did very well. I'm proud of you.
You're a jerk.
I didn't choose the news. I mean, I chose some of the headlines, but I didn't make this stuff happen. I didn't name these people. I didn't, you know, that just so happened to be the things that happened that year. You know, not all the news happens in the United States.
Clearly, I felt like I was in ninth grade again, stuttering.
That will teach you to pick a year that you weren't alive in.
Words were so difficult back then.
I am Scott.
I'm Sam.
And you are listening to XY Podcasts.
Ah. So 77, once again, a year in which I was alive and you were not. I remember 77. I remember being one of the last kids to actually see Star Wars. All the other kids in elementary school. As a matter of fact, there was this little annoying kid named Bill. But Bill was like the classroom artist. He would always bring his onion paper into school, basically onion skin paper, I don't know if it was actually made from onion skins, but it was like really thin, so you could put it over like posters and magazine pictures and trace it and then look like a really good artist.
Yeah, I've worked with that kind of paper before.
Yeah, so he would always bring in like Star Wars art and like trace pictures of like the Millennium Falcon. And then, you know, look what I did. Oh, Bill, you're a really good artist. And like, he traced it. Bill's such a good artist. He is not. He's a good tracer.
You would use onion skin paper to like make the sketches move so you can retrace it, but at a different angle.
Oh, like to animate things?
Yeah.
Ah. See, I thought its purpose was just to trace things.
A fake artist, yeah.
I'm sure at some point he became an actual valid artist because that's, you know, how you learn. He was only in, what was that, third grade? Third grade.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'll give him that.
But still, you know, third grade, I wasn't stupid. I saw him tracing. Everybody's, oh, Bill's such a good artist. He can draw really well. No, he can trace really well, Bill can. That's what he's doing. He's tracing. You see him doing it. You see him putting the paper over the picture. You're right next to me. You see him doing it.
Do it again, Bill.
Then our teacher, oh, that Bill is such a... You're smarter than this, Mrs. B. Don't patronize him.
You've got a college education.
This school is state funded. We don't have boosters. Don't kiss that kid's butt. Anyway. But it also made me mad because he was like tracing all the art from the Star Wars movie, which I had yet to see. I didn't see it. I don't think I saw it till like the summertime because it came out in May, which was still like there was still like a month and a half left of school, you know, but school was out before I actually saw it. I was like one of the few people that saw Star Wars during the first run in a mostly empty theater. Oh, yeah, cool. In a mostly empty theater.
Oh, cool.
You know how long you have to wait before you go to see Star Wars in a mostly empty theater?
Sure, a good few weeks.
They re-released it a couple years later before Empire came out, and I was with my friend in the Bronx. And I remember because I guess in the Bronx, it's common practice to sneak out of the movie that you're seeing, or when you're done seeing your movie and you sneak into another movie, because, you know, they either don't stop you, or it's kind of like smoking marijuana in Jamaica. Sure, it's illegal, but, you know, what else are the tourists going to do? So after we saw The Clones of Bruce Lee, which is as bad as it sounds, it was
it like a B grade movie.
It was.
Oh no!
It was dubbed, and it was bad because all the clones. It's bad when the clones are played by all Asian dudes, and still none of them look alike. They were all supposed to be clones of Bruce Lee. I mean, obviously Bruce Lee was dead, but, you know, there've been people who've played him in biopics who look sort of like him, but they couldn't find three guys that looked enough alike to at least be brothers.
Right.
They could have at least looked related. But anyway, after we snuck out of this Clones of Bruce Lee, we snuck into Star Wars, which was playing in a neighboring theater, and it was packed once again. You know, we snuck in, but we were like still hanging. We were hanging out in the aisle with must have been like 30 other people, like right in the doorway, poking our head in, watching the movie. Oh, obviously, wow. The theater managers or the theater owners did not care.
Right. We had a theater like that here.
You know, what else are you going to do when you visit the Bronx, or in your case, Sevierville?
Right. That theater shut down a long time ago, though.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been like, gosh, 15 years since the shutdown.
Well, I couldn't tell you about the theater that we were in because I haven't been to the Bronx since I was a kid. I enjoyed it though. It was fun. One of my childhood friends that he was like a couple years older than me, but we got to be good friends. And he took me to the Bronx and we stayed with his dad in like a high rise luxury apartment because his dad had a little bit of money. And then we stayed with his, I guess, stepmom or former stepmom, or I don't know what relation. I think she was something to his dad, but her apartment was even nicer. I mean, it was like a penthouse. Well, they both were penthouses, but like, you know, her, like she had like levels and like a pit, like her living room was in a pit.
Yeah.
And she had the coolest remote control TV. Now, this was back, remembering this is back a while. So not every TV came standard with a remote.
Oh,
but she had, like a 19, this was like a tube set that was like from the 1960s with an old style remote. I guarantee you that when she bought this thing, it probably cost as much as a boat. And it was cool. But yeah, I had a really good time when we went to the Bronx. And I never forgot it. But one of the things I remembered was our trip to the movies.
That's just awesome. Yeah, I remember the old TVs, though. I used to be the remote for my dad's.
Yeah.
I'd sit on the floor, change it. Click, change it, click.
Yeah, grandma, put the news on for me, please.
It's 150 channels.
Well, yeah, see, we didn't have that many. We have 13 if we had cable. If you had cable, you had 13.
Do you remember the bunny ears?
Yeah, the bunny ears, that if they bunny ears broke, you put aluminum foil on them or a coat hanger.
We did that
or you were the designated antenna. No, stand here, boy. Stand here. Don't move.
Put your arm at the window.
Put your leg down. It's already on the floor. Bend your knee.
Oh, all the radiation going through our bodies.
Right. No wonder we're sterile now. So. 1977 was quite the year for a lot of stuff. There were a good bit of movies.
Yeah, for sure.
I had no idea until I was looking at the TV shows, how many TV shows I watched. And I was like, oh, five was absolutely a problem, because just keeping it to five.
Was it a struggle?
It was a major. I don't think there has been a harder year than this one in terms of just keeping it to five for TV shows.
See, it was hard for me to pick five, but I didn't watch all of them.
You were genetic material in 1977.
Yeah. Even like reruns or anything. I think I've seen two out of my list that I've watched.
Yeah, and we're just talking about shows that premiered in 77, you know, not to mention the shows that were still on and running.
Right.
You know, like the $6 Million Man was still on. I watched every episode of that show. That was my jam. You know, Good Times. Watched every episode of that show. Not that I remember all of them, because I was a kid.
I did watch Good Times.
Yeah, buddy. But yeah, there were quite some pickings. And then music, you can forget it.
Oh, music. Definitely.
Music was crazy in 77.
Have I got a list for you?
Well, why don't we go ahead and light this candle and start off with films? It's your turn to go first.
Films wasn't too bad. I have five.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've got 10 films, but I still bet you there'll probably be some overlap. There's going to be some duplicates.
Excuse me. I'll start from one this time.
Okay.
All right. I have Star Wars: A New Hope, and I'm pretty sure you already knew that one was going to be in there.
You know that's a duplicate, right?
Yeah, it has to be. I knew he was going to pick that one for sure. And I'm pretty sure this one might be as well. My number two pick is Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh. See, I was smart with that one. It's not on my proper. It's not on my proper list, but it's my honorable mention.
Oh, okay, okay. Number three, you probably didn't pick this one. Is The Exorcist 2?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
You know what? No, it's probably the one Exorcist movie that I did not see.
My fourth pick is Fun with Dick and Jane, the original, not the Jim Carrey version.
Okay. I did see that one.
Did you?
I didn't pick it.
Oh, I thought you would.
I saw it. I saw it, you know, when I was doing my research.
And the movie that started it all, the cartoon, The Hobbit.
Oh. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will. Okay.
Yeah, I watched it one time.
Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom. I might have seen it.
A few times?
Yes. Possibly. Yeah, good stuff.
That's my top five. I'm curious what you have.
Oh, well, I'll do it as a top 10 list. Okay. So at number 10 is Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown.
I'm pretty sure my aunt watches that too.
Yeah, Charles Schultz. Number 9, March or Die was a movie about the French Foreign Legion with Gene Hackman and one of my favorite actors you've probably never heard of, Terrence Hill.
No, never heard of him.
Look him up. Okay. Terrence, he's still alive. He's old. I think he's well in his 80s now. Might even be older than that. But he was a good-looking guy when he was younger. He started acting like in his late teens. An Italian actor, I'm pretty sure, but blonde. But okay. He was... him and Bud Spencer teamed up and did a lot of comedies together through the 70s and 80s.
All right.
But anyway, March or Die is number 9. I just remember seeing it as a kid. Number 8 was Orca.
Or never heard of it.
Orca was a Jaws ripoff for the most part.
Okay, when you say ripoff, do you mean like a cheesy ripoff or is it like a...
But I remember it being well done. Richard Harris was the lead, and it was supposed to be kind of like a, even though it was a Jaws ripoff essentially, it was more a modern day Moby Dick.
Okay.
But yeah, it's basically about a guy who's obsessed with killing a whale.
Oh yeah, I can see the ripoff going on there.
But the Orca, unlike the shark in Jaws, the orca was intelligent because, as we know, orcas actually are intelligent. Although this one had like high level problem solving intelligence. 7 was Freaky Friday, the original.
Number that movie's good. Sorry,
it is. It's fun. Number 6 was Pete's Dragon, the original. Number 5 was Oh God, with George Burns and John Denver.
John Denver the singer?
John Denver the singer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it was, I remember it being, once again, I saw it as a kid. I wouldn't want to critique John Denver's acting, but he seemed competent to me.
Yeah.
Number 4, Saturday Night Fever.
I had to put it on there. I saw that one.
Yeah. What, you know, what can you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Number 3, The Spy Who Loved Me, one of my favorite Roger Moore Bond movies. Number 2, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
It's Spielberg.
I will see it.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of his movies.
And Spielberg adjacent is my number 1 pick. Star Wars.
All right.
My honorable mention is Smokey and the Bandit, as I mentioned.
Yeah. All those movies, all the Smokey and the Bandits, there's not a bad one. I think there's 3 of them, actually.
Now, the third one, Burt Reynolds only makes like a cameo appearance in.
Yeah, it's still pretty good, though.
Yeah, Snowman dresses up as the bandit and drives around in a Trans Am.
Right.
So, if I might ask, what are your television picks?
I have five of those as well, and one honorable mention.
Okay.
My first one is Chips.
That almost made my list.
Oh, I remember watching it as a kid. My second one is The Incredible Hulk, the TV series, not the movie.
Yes.
My third one, I heard my mom talking about it, so I was like, I'll put it on there. It's The Love Boat.
Okay.
What's up?
No, I was just gonna say that made my honor. You know, that made my list.
Did it?
in after fashion.
My fourth one, as a boy growing up, I used to read these books, and I wasn't a big reader as I was a kid, you know, but my brother got me into them, and it was the Hardy Boys mysteries. The show came out with the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew mysteries.
Yes. Yeah, that show, that almost made my list because I did watch the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew mysteries, and then they separated them. Then it was just the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Something that used to happen a lot with shows back then, it happened to Chips, and it did happen to Hardy Boys, is because it was the disco era, they would take the classic themes music for these shows, and then they would jazz them up and make them disco, and that happened to the Hardy Boys. It happened to Chips as well. and Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman too.
Yes, they did a because Wonder Woman, whether you liked the show or you hated it, Wonder Woman had one of the baddest theme songs of any TV show. You know, especially for the first season. You know, it started off with an explosion, and like the stars would come out, and like the graphics would be like Wonder Woman, and then the music starts off with this. And then you have the bass line and the piano. Dun, 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 dun. And then the smooth lead vocalist. All the world is waiting for you. And the magic that you do. That was a bad jam.
That sounds like it still can be.
YouTube it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to now. I haven't seen the first episode of it.
Then they discoed it up. They took the lyrics out of it and, you know, they added a synth, and then the third season was just straight disco. It was like it had a slap bass in it.
So was it pass or trash?
I mean, you know what? It's still jammed actually, but okay. You know, it wasn't as good as like the first season with the singing. You know, well there were still vocals, but it was just Wonder Woman. That was all that was in it, but. I have to admit the slap bass was actually pretty decent. Once again, all that stuff is on YouTube. But I digress. I interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. That was interesting. So if you do have like younger kids that don't like to read, give them a Hardy Boys book. They'll read it. It's just a mystery book. It's really good. Like I had. Gosh, probably about 20 books of them.
There were some TV show remakes of the Hardy Boys, but none were as good as I remember the one with Sean Cassidy and Parker Stevenson.
Okay. That's the original, right?
Yep, those were the ones from the 70s.
My last pick is The Amazing Spider-Man.
Confound it.
Yeah.
I figured that one would slip past you.
I do have one honorable mention, though. The Richard Pryor Show.
God nabbit! How'd you even know about that?
Because I watched it.
That's what my computer was on, because you've been hacking my stuff.
I know your IP address, too.
That should scare me more than it does. Well, good TV picks. I should know because half of them are on my list.
Oh no.
Yeah. So my TV picks, starting, I have five picks as well, but I have a few honorable mentions. So okay. Number five is the one show that you did not name. Okay, one of two shows you didn't. Well, okay, there's three. But number five is Quark.
Never heard of it.
It was a short-lived science fiction comedy that was my favorite show when it was on TV. It was about a crew that would collect garbage from space. And the garbage was actually wrapped up in garbage bags. There were like there were bags of garbage floating around in space that their ship would grab. Their ship had like a big mouth on it.
Yeah.
And they would open up the mouth and grab the space, what they called the space baggie. And like Richard Benjamin and Tim Thomerson and some other folks were in it, but I loved it. Anyway, number four, I have The Amazing Spider-Man.
There we go.
Number three is soap.
Soap.
Yes.
It's like a soap opera?
It was a spoof of a soap opera. It was a comedy that spoofed soap operas.
Hmm.
So it featured two sisters who married into two different families, the Tates and the Campbells, and all the interesting, ridiculous things that happened to these families. You remember the show Benson?
No.
There was a show called Benson with Robert Guillaume, which ran for a while. Benson started off on soap as their butler, but Robert Guillaume, obviously being a talented individual that he was, they saw that they could build a show around him. So they took the character and put him into a sitcom called Benson, title character. It was not as spoofed or like as it wasn't as lampoonish as soap. It was still a comedy, but it was a bit more grounded as a comedy. It was a sitcom, but he was the budget director for the governor. By the end of the run of the show, he had gone from being the budget director to being the lieutenant governor. It's interesting that the same character started off as a butler on one show and then ends up being lieutenant governor on a spinoff show. But interesting. But soap was ridiculous. Number two pick was The Man from Atlantis.
I haven't seen that one either.
Patrick Duffy played a man who could breathe underwater.
Oh. So Aquaman?
Aquaman-ish, except no, didn't have the edge. Patrick Duffy's Mark Harris was not as edgy as Jason Momoa's Arthur Curry.
Oh, man. Jason Momoa's freaking awesome.
My honorable mentions are The Love Boat. And if you watched The Love Boat, then you probably watched Fantasy Island, which is my next honorable mention.
You know, it's crazy. I've actually heard of that one.
Well, it's been remade a couple times. It's been remade as a show twice. And it was also remade into a movie with Michael Pena.
Oh.
So then for Saturday morning watching, there was Space Academy. And then here's a show that I bet you your uncle watched this one or your aunt. Sha-na-na.
I can ask them, but I'm guaranteeing they probably did.
Yeah, it was a popular show back then. Even I enjoyed it as a kid, but it was really popular with older folks. They featured music from the 50s. And then my final honorable mention is The Richard Pryor Show.
Hmm.
But my number one pick is The Incredible Hulk.
That has to be a number one pick.
Yes. So what music that is left over from the 70s do you listen to?
Oh, man, I listen to everything from like solid gold oldies to rock to, well, you know my genres. I listen to everything.
You're eclectic.
Oh, yeah.
What did you drop onto your list?
All right, I got five. I got top five, and then I've got four honorable mentions. I could have went all day with this.
Well, I understand. I completely understand. I get it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go with my favorite song. I'm going to go from one to five again. Easy by the Commodores.
Oh, yeah. I can't hate that.
Oh, man. And seeing it live is even better. So let's go with number two, Jet Airliner by Steve Miller Band.
Hmm.
And what was cool about the number two pick is I remember back in 1998 when I went to Myrtle Beach, they had like a cover band of the Steve Miller Band, and they were playing that song on the beach.
Oh.
It was just, it was awesome. Sat there with my uncle and watched it. My number three pick is We Are the Champions.
Oh, okay.
Queen was one of my dad's favorite bands.
Well, I mean, once again, if you just go off talent, they were one of the best. And I don't think anybody else did exactly what they did. Mercury's vocals were unique. No one else has sounded like him.
Has it since?
And except for like impersonators, but
yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he was weird on stage, sure, but I mean, he wouldn't be the first, and certainly hasn't been the last.
Yeah, so is Post Malone, but he's a really good singer. Plus, he seems pretty chill when he's off stage. This next one, I remember riding my dad's truck jamming this song, Black Betty by Ram Jam.
Hmm. Yes, everybody's jammed to that song.
Oh, I still do.
Tom Jones did a remake.
I'll throw it on the A-L-E-X-A.
Oh.
I can't really say her name right now.
Yeah. She'll be all up in the conversation.
I heard you say that.
So, the just a bit of trivia about that song. Sure, it's been remade many times. The Ram Jam version is a remake, of course.
Yeah,
it's an old Lead Belly song, but for the I don't know if you saw the Dukes of Hazzard remake.
No, oh wait, 2005. Sean William Scott
and Johnny Knoxville. Yeah, an Australian group called Spiderbait did a cover of Black Betty, close to the style of what Ram Jam did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Actually, it did it justice.
I didn't think it was a bad version of it.
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
But forgive me.
You're good. The last pick I have before my honorable mentions is Dust in the Wind by Kansas.
One of my kids loves that song. I think my youngest really loves that song.
It's a laid-back vibe. And if you watch the Supernatural show, you'll know who Kansas is.
I think one show that used that song really well was Highlander.
Highlander.
I think Duncan MacLeod had a. There was a female lead on the show. It was his girlfriend, his lover, but she was a long time recurring character, and then eventually they killed her off. And I think I believe it was the episode that he was mourning her that they used that song.
Okay. I didn't know that. On Supernatural, they use the Wayward Son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the song I'm thinking of that my youngest likes.
Carry On, Wayward Son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Don't You Cry No More. I'll give you something to cry about.
Do it again.
Yeah, that's what we'd hear in my house. Oh, you're going to cry? I'll give you something to cry about.
Oh, man. So, my honorable mentions, I will just run through these. Cold as ass.
Cold,
wow.
Cold as ass. Well.
Cold as ice by Foreigner.
Like the thrift shop line. That's a cold ass honky.
That's it.
That's cold as ass, bro.
Oh my gosh. How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees.
Okay.
Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett.
That does not surprise me at all.
Dude, that song is awesome. And the last one, when I went to the Disturbed concert, they had a group there called Plush. and they redid this song, or they covered it. Not they did, but covered it. Barracuda by Heart.
Okay. And
my last honorable mention. It's not a song. It's a whole album. The Temptations put out this album, the only album of 1977, is Here to Tempt You.
Okay. You'll get a pass for that.
Yeah, you have to on that one. Every song on that album is really good.
Yeah, the Temptations are their royalty. I'll give you a pass on that.
And you also know that's also my favorite, absolute favorite group.
I do. Which is another reason to get a pass. I'm not heartless.
I appreciate that.
Well, my music list is maybe not quite that impressive, but it's personal to me. So, but I mean, it's once again, it's so hard to isolate these to just five picks and a few honorable mentions.
Ain't that the truth?
Because music was off the chain in the 70s. But really quick, Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, that is a good song.
It is, though, but there are very few things by Stevie Wonder that aren't good. There are
Tears
few.
Tears of a Happy Clown.
Oh, Tears of a Clown. That's actually Smokey, yeah. Smokey Robinson.
That is Smokey.
But it's actually probably my favorite Smokey song. My next pick is Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye. I loved that song when it first came out, and then I appreciated it more when it became the inspiration for a certain song that got people sued. Not to blur any lines or anything. Then there was Daz by Brick, probably one you're not familiar with, but I'm sure you've heard it, but probably didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I'd have to skim over it to jog the old memory.
But it sounds almost like the record's been slowed down a little bit when you hear them singing it, you know, and like they've been smoking all day. But it's called Daz, which is supposed to stand for disco jazz. So, and this is another one from my youth, Strawberry Letter 23 by Brothers Johnson.
I haven't heard that one either.
You probably have.
Was it featured in movies?
It's been like probably most of these songs on both of our lists have been featured in movies. Okay. But you've probably heard it. But the thing that's confusing about it is in the song, they don't sing Strawberry Letter 23, they sing Strawberry Letter 22. Yeah, it's confusing.
That's weird. That's not misleading at all.
I never got it. And then my honorable mentions before my final pick are Somebody to Love by Queen. That's where I thought you were going.
Oh, no.
So, yes, just a really great vocal ballad by Freddie Mercury. And it's a nice, really cool sing-along tune. And every Queen song that features Freddie Mercury's fantastic voice also features the really unique playing of Brian May. Nobody plays the guitar to sound like him.
Yeah.
And that song is that instrument, that, you know, Brian May's guitar playing is every bit the signature sound of Queen as Freddie Mercury's voice was. So my other honorable mention, the actual theme to Star Wars, well, you being a Star Wars fan, I figured you'd appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Was it by the orchestra?
London Symphony Orchestra.
Yep.
And composed by, of course, John Williams, a absolute master composer. John Williams is arguably the greatest composer of our time, for at least for scoring films.
There
are some good ones.
We have a Broadway in Knoxville And there was an orchestra there that I've seen. They played the Star Wars theme song. It's so good live. You have to see it.
And my final honorable mention is also Star Wars and Other Galactic Funk by Miko. So in the 70s, there was a disco version of Star Wars that got mad play on the radio. And then eventually, a couple summers later, a friend of mine, a girl who I think had a crush on me, she gave me a cassette of the whole like Star Wars suite done by Miko. And then the other side was just called Other Galactic Funk, which was just, you know, some kind of disco funk kind of thing, which was it was interesting to listen to. But if you've not heard the Star Wars suite by Miko, give it a listen, because it's definitely disco, but they were definitely paying attention to what John Williams nailed together. And you could tell that they were being very reverent when they made it.
I'll have to look it up on YouTube. For some reason, if I look it up on any of the other apps, it'll give like 30 different composers or artists.
But yeah, I think you'll find it amusing. And my final music pick is Rubber Band Man by the Spinners.
Oh, how did I miss that one?
I am surprised you did,
Yeah.
but I'm kind of glad you did.
Man, I would laugh too if the rubber band was stretched between the foot and the toe or the foot and the nose.
Rubber band man. Yeah, I love that song. That's one of those songs that every time I hear it, it just puts me in a good mood.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Still don't see how I missed that song.
Well, I mean, once again, to be fair, 77 was just a year that was rich with musical selections.
For sure.
There was so much stuff. If you pull up lists in, like, say, the top 100 of 77, there'd be stuff that never got touched. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of musical offerings from that year. So yeah, it's easy to miss a gem here and there because there were so many. It was an embarrassment of musical riches.
Wow. That was a strong list right there.
It well,
Especially the tail end of it. Ooh.
well, yeah, I was equally impressed with your offerings as well. Except that was music. Music was different back then, man. It wasn't this crap that they're. You know, I just read something. I don't know. Do you know who Herbie Hancock is?
Yeah.
So Herbie Hancock, I think he was quoted when he said this, but like the music now is not about the music. It's about the artist. It's about the celebrity of the artist and less about the music. He said
Right, I
the.
mean, so stupid. It's like, give it, all right, that's a cool beat. Where's the auto tune? Throw it together. Let's go.
Yeah, you know,
That's...
it's like, did you hear that new song by so and so? Did you hear that new song by so and so? And you know, okay, maybe to be fair, that is a result of the rap generation, because rap is very much driven by the artist who creates it. You
Right.
know, it's centered around the artist. It's not like you're creating a song. Like when a group would create a song, you know, you're writing the music, you're writing the lyrics, it all goes together. They're all pieces. It's like building a
Right.
car. You know, rap is structured very, very differently. The beat is often pulled from something else, and it's just basically meant to hold up the lyrics. It's all about the lyrics, and the lyrics are very much about the personality and the, you know, the bravado. I mean, as I crossed paths with a producer years ago who said rap is just basically bragging rights. You know, it's just you're basically, you know, talking about yourself for the most part. I mean, most rap is about my, this, and ama, you know, and it's very ego driven. So, but I think that kind of affected a lot of, you know, what's I guess called the hip hop genre. You know, it has become more artist centric. But I mean, even, you know, the divas, It's about, I mean, oh, not so much, is this a good song or not? But, oh, did you hear that new song by Taylor Swift? Did you hear that new song by Lady Gaga or whoever, who, you know?
Who's Taylor Swift?
Oh, I don't know, some girl.
No, but you know, rap these days, they'll pull a bass line from the 70s or 60s music.
Well, and that's just it. The hip-hop rap artists very, very quickly figured out that they can't be just monolithic in terms of musical taste. They've got to borrow from different types of musical genres in order to create. And I'm very, very happy that they did that.
Yeah,
I'm happy that they do that. That's why Snoop, and you know his contemporaries. That's why Eminem. That's why these guys have the staying power that they do, because they know
how to use it.
Yeah, they're pulling from the things that inspired them. But I mean, mind you, Eminem, Snoop, those guys are my age.
Right.
You know, they're definitely Gen Xers.
And they're not a big fan of Gen Z.
Well,
no.
I love them.
I'm Gen Y. Thank God.
Yes.
But yeah, even in one of Eminem's songs, he says, "You're going to cancel me, Gen Z me, bro." He can't cancel Eminem. That's like canceling air.
Yeah, he's got a good run left in him yet.
Oh yeah. And you know, talking about auto-tune, the only person that I really like that uses auto-tune, because he's been using it and he knows how to perfect it, is T-Pain. It's the only, I mean, Post Malone's pretty good at it, and I like his music, but well, T-Pain is like the goat at it.
Well, and I think both of those guys, if I'm not mistaken, I know for a fact that Post Malone can sing without auto-tune.
Oh yeah, I know that too. Yeah, he's really good.
As far as T-Pain goes, they made a point of saying, well, you can sing without it. Why use it?
Oh yeah, T-Pain has a whole album where you don't use auto-tune. He sounds fantastic.
Well, I think we've kind of arrived at the end.
I believe so too.
Okay.
We good?
Yep. Go ahead and take it away.
All right. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment. You know, all that good stuff. And I'm going to pull something from George Carlin's book. Don't sweat the petty things and never pet the sweaty things. I figured you would like that one since we went 77 style.
Yes. Yes. That's back when Carlin was one of the funniest people on the planet. Along with Richard Pryor.
Oh, yeah.
Carlin made a joke in one of his shows. He said, you know, being a comedian was hard on your health, because he's like, I lead Richard Pryor in heart attacks 2-1. But Richard Pryor is probably more likely to burn himself out.
Wow.
Yes. Well, they're both dead now.
Yeah.
Don't forget to mention the email address.
Oh, yeah. Reach us at xypodcats@yahoo.com.
Email's
up and running.
Absolutely. And with that, I will say X.
Y.
And Z. You later.
Later.
And we're out.
Boy, I missed a lot between 77 and 89.
A lot did happen. You basically missed the 80s, which was probably... People thought that the 60s were the worst generation for fashion until the 80s happened.
Oh, man, big hair.
Big hair, crazy colors, but, like, no commitment. Like, the 70s had... The 60s and early 70s had crazy color, but, like, they had bell-bottoms and, like, headbands.
Oh, bell-bottoms are coming back.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Can we shoot people wearing them?
That's, you know, it's like a purge going on. I ain't gonna stop you.
their legs flat in the air, the bells upside down.